Information, please. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. We want you to send us questions, stickers of all sorts, together with the right answers. We have four experts here every Tuesday night who will answer them correctly or pay you $5 for every question that stumps them. Each question accepted wins you $2. Our master of ceremonies is Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Sitting in their accustomed places at the head of the class, their faces simply shining with intelligence, are Franklin P. Adams of the New York Post and his side genius, John Kieran, sports columnist of the New York Times. Aiding and abetting them on the scientific end of things is Mr. Bernard Jaffe, author of Crucibles and Outposts of Science. Our guest of honor this evening is
Ben Burney.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will keep nothing from you. That was the maestro Ben Burney, a rival master of ceremonies, now playing with his pipe.
Also playing at the Strand Theater, Broadway, New York. Thank you.
The modest maestro, with his customary genius for self-effacement, will please wait till the question period begins. Here are the rules, gentlemen. I'll put the question to the entire board. If you know the answers, raise your hand. A question composed of no more than two parts must be answered by one man. If of more than that, the board may cooperate. But if any part is answered wrong, we lose $5. When you hear that cash register ring, that means the questioner is getting his $5. I'd like to repeat, everybody. Information, please, is a spontaneous and unrehearsed program. We don't know how things will turn out. Sometimes our program is good, and sometimes it's very good. Let's go. Now, gentlemen, have all of you heard the rhyme beginning, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief? We've all heard it. Mr. Burney, have you heard it too?
Yeah, okay.
Very good. Miss Phyllis A. Jacobson, 3391 Elizabeth Avenue, Linwood, California, wants you to name novels or plays, each of which concerns itself with one of those phrases. We'll begin with the first, rich man. A novel or play concerned with a rich man. Mr. Adams.
A Certain Rich Man.
A Certain Rich Man is very good. Did you have another one, Mr. Jaffe, in mind?
Rich Man, Poor Girl.
Is that a novel?
Yes.
All right. To Poor Man. Poor Man. It doesn't have to have the phrase poor man in it. It need merely deal with a poor man. Mr. Adams.
The Beggar's Opera.
The Beggar's Opera. Like to save that for a little while. The third one is Beggar Man. You wouldn't like to save that for the third, would you?
Yes, I would.
All right. Let's save that for the third, and let's have another poor man. Novel or play dealing with a poor man, or with poor men. Mr. Kieran.
The Poor Little Rich Girl.
You've got your sexes mixed, I think. No, I wouldn't let that go. Unless there is a poor man in the poor little rich girl. Don't believe there is. Give you gentlemen another second or two. 1 second, 2 seconds, just a second or two. Mr. Burney.
Brothers Ashkenazi.
Brothers Ashkenazi. Are there any poor men in that? I think Mr. Burney's got me buncoed. Is that the... Are there poor men in the Brothers Ashkenazi?
Uncle Tom's Cabin.
All right, Mr. Kieran, I'll take that. Well, how about Tobacco Road? That's been running long enough for you to have seen it. Poor White, The Prince and the Pauper, any of those would do. How about Beggar Man? All right, Mr. Adams, come on up. Up to bat.
The Beggar's Opera.
Very good. See if we can get another one. With the word beggar in it. I can think of a play with the word beggar in it.
Beggar on Horseback.
Yes, correct. Mr. Burney and Mr. Adams both came to bat on that one. Poor Thief. Thief.
Alibaba.
Alibaba. Yes. Yes, 40 thieves, as a matter of fact. Think of another one with a thief in it. How about an old movie in which I think Douglas Fairbanks played, Mr. Burney?
Thief of Baghdad.
Attaboy, Mr. Burney. We're just loosening Mr. Burney up this evening, that's all. This is a preliminary process necessary to all newcomers. Five, Doctor. Doctor.
Arrowsmith.
Mr. Kieran?
Arrowsmith.
Okay, Mr. Jaffe?
Ben White.
Yes. All of those are good, Mr. Burney?
The Doctor's Dilemma.
Perfectly good. Very good indeed.
Thank you, sir.
You do some reading out of when you're not engaged in your orchestral work, Mr. Burney?
Yeah, sir. I'm not reading the racing form, Mr. Fetter.
We'll get to the question of dealing with racing very soon, perhaps. Sixth, lawyer. Lawyer.
Monsieur? Blackstone's commentaries.
I don't think I'd call it a novel or a play. It certainly deals with lawyers. It's got to be a novel or a play. It won't accept it.
The night of January 16th.
Yes, that would do as a play. Think of any others?
Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Do you intend to draw an Uncle Tom's Cabin all evening, Mr. Adams?
I'd like to. There's a lawyer in that.
I'll see if I can fix the question for you. Seven, Indian Chief. Indian Chief.
The Last of the Mohicans.
That was Mr. Burney. That's quite correct. Very good. The next question is from Mr. A. Wheeler, 3160 Masson Street, Montreal, Canada. Now, gentlemen, you recall that in the poem, Casey at the Bat, they call it a poem, there were two out and men on second and third when Casey came to bat. Is that correct so far? Under similar circumstances in Major League Baseball today, would there be less probability of Casey striking out? Mr. Kerr.
I think so.
How would you explain that?
They probably would make the mistake of walking him.
Why would they do that?
To bring up a weaker hitter.
Yeah, because he was had a reputation as a heavy slugger.
Right.
But why didn't they do that in the poem?
Because you couldn't walk a man in those days.
Is that true? The rules were didn't allow walking a man?
Well, he just stood there and called for whatever ball he wanted and fouled off as many as he wanted.
Uh-huh. I can think of another reason why they didn't do it.
There wouldn't have been any poem.
That's right, Mr. Adams. Thank you very much, gentlemen. The next question for Mr. C.L. Dunbar, 60 Gramercy Park, Manhattan. What would be the most appropriate way of serving eggs to the following persons? And I have five persons. I'll give you an example. What kind of eggs would you serve to a trespasser on a game preserve? This isn't in the question. This is an example. Mr. Kieran.
Poach.
Attaboy. All right. Now you get the idea, gentlemen. First, a newly married man. Volunteers. A newly married man. Studio audience is very bright this evening. A newly married man. Mr. Jaffe,
I was thinking of soft-boiled, but I'm not sure about that.
Don't think I'd let that go. And you're not making friends among the bridegrooms this evening, Mr. Jaffe. Nope, there is one. Mr.
Burns. I would call it soft-scrambled.
Wouldn't let that go either. You gentlemen don't like newly married men. Any unfortunate memories suddenly coming up before the mic here? I have to call that one wrong, unless I get the proper answer, which is...
Turned over?
No, I don't think so. No, I should say a la Benedict would be correct. Egg Benedictine would be the correct answer. I have to call that one wrong. Two, a woman at a bargain sale. A woman at a bargain sale. Mr. Adams.
Hard boiled.
Yes, that would do perfectly well. Or scrambled. Three, a Marine. Mr. Adams.
Also hard boy.
Very good. Why didn't you say Uncle Tom's Cabin?
I think it was Shakespeare.
Four, a spoiled child. Mr. Jaffe.
Sunny side up.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no.
Oh, good.
Spoiled child, sunny side up. What is the proper answer, Mr. Adams? Mr. Adams has fainted. No, he's up again. Everything's all right. Did you get it? The answer is
I have it.
Did you get
I was going to say coddle.
Yes, but your first answer was wrong. Call that wrong. A permanent Pollyanna, Mr. Jaffe. Permanent Pollyanna? Gee, you had it a minute ago.
Yeah.
Mr. Cure.
Sunny side up.
Yeah. We lose $5 on that one. Didn't do so well on the air. Well, see if you can get this one. A cheerleader at a football game. This is not in the game. This doesn't count. Cheerleader at a football game. I made this one up myself.
If you did, that must be rotten.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Spoils my gag. The answer is raw, raw, raw. $5 lost on that one. The next one for Mr. Lester Swade, 229 West 42nd Street, New York City. Name the star, or stars, associated with each of the following songs. There are five of them, and you have to get four out of five. First, Body and Soul. Raise hands, gentlemen. Miss Burney.
Libby Holman.
That's correct. Two, throw him down McCloskey. Mr. Adams.
Maggie Klein.
Correct. Three, she's my Daisy. On chair.
Harry Lloyd.
That's right. Four, by Mavis Duchesne.
Ella Fitzgerald.
I beg pardon?
Ella Fitzgerald.
So would that be right? I wouldn't know. I have the Andrews sisters down here.
Well, they also, their Ella Fitzgerald and the Andrews sisters' records are about a photograph finish in sales.
Is that a fact? All right. All right. Ella Fitzgerald it is. Five, everybody sing. Mr. Burney.
Ethel Merman.
Nope, won't accept it. Judy Garland, it says here. But am I right, Mr. Burney, or are you
right? Absolutely.
I'm right.
Yes, sir.
Very nice, sir. Well, we just got four out of five by the skin of Mr. Burney's teeth. Quite correct. Four out of five. The next one is for Mr. Louis W. Murdoch, 67 Clarkson Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. If a man without a parachute steps out of a flying plane, does he fall to the earth, or does the earth come up to meet him? Of all the things for the man to worry about. If a man without a parachute steps out of a flying plane, the name of the man not specified, does he fall to the earth, or does the earth come up to meet him?
The earth comes up to meet him.
That was Mr. Adams. That's wrong. That's wrong, Mr. Adams. Mr. Sheeran.
Why, he falls at the rate of 16 feet the first second, 32 the second, 64, and so forth and so on.
Don't you want to go on with it? Nothing I like better than exactly.
Well, he doesn't fall straight downward.
Doesn't fall straight down. Well,
no.
It doesn't seem to me that that's the point at issue, whether he falls straight down or not. Mr. Jaffe, what would
the answer
you
is false. The earth rises to meet him, and the man falls to meet the earth. There's a mutual attraction there.
Yes, there's a slight gravitational pull on the earth toward him. We have to count that wrong because Mr. Adams stepped into the breach so nobly. $5. That's correct, Mr. Jaffe. I wish you'd said that at the beginning.
Well, I had my hand up.
Oh, was that your hand?
You were looking at Mr. Adams.
Oh, I thought that was Mr. Adams' hand. Oh, you've been holding hands. The next one from Miss Frances E. Coney, Mr. Frances E. Coney, of the Veterans Hospital, Portland, Oregon. Quote the well-known line or lines preceding, not succeeding, but preceding, each of the following. There are five altogether, and you have to get four out of five. First line, whence all but him had fled. Mr. Kieran.
Pacify anchor. The boy stood on the burning deck.
Nicely said. Two, life is but an empty dream. Mr. Adams.
Tell me not in mournful numbers.
And it's from?
A Psalm of Life.
Yes, by?
H.W. Longfellow.
I got it out of him, finally. Three. But this is a tough one, I think. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain thy dear perfection, which he owes without that title. So Romeo would, were he not Romeo called, retain thy dear perfection, which he owes without that title. Mr. Kieran.
What's in a name? A rose by any other name?
Yes, that's right. You gave it to me sort of jaggedly. What's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other name would smell as sweet. Going to call that right. Four, are losing theirs and blaming it on you. Mr. Kieran?
That's Kipling's F.
Yes, and let's have the line quite correctly, if you don't mind.
If you can hold your nerve when all around...
About you.
When all about you.
Yeah.
I accept the amendment.
Well, there are a couple of others I'd like to make. If you can keep your head when all about you. But that's...
Well, about eight stanzas to it.
Yes, all right. We'll let it go this evening, Mr. Jaffe. Mr. Jaffe has such a nice face. It's awfully hard to argue with him. And fired the shot heard round the world. All right, Mr. Kieran.
Here once the embattled farmers stood.
Very good. And the line comes from?
By the rude bridge that arched the flood. That's where it comes from.
That's not the name of the man.
Emerson.
Emerson, yes. And what's the name of the poem, Mr. Adams?
I don't know.
I've been in his house. I know where he lived.
Conquered him. Conquered him. We learn it in school, I think. Don't you teach it in school, Mr. Jaffe?
I don't teach English.
Oh, you don't teach English?
No.
What do you think of the
sunset
clauses in? Let's see. Did we get those all correct? Yes, we did. 5 out of 5. The next one comes all the way from Alabama, from Miss Almeta Bain of Theodore, Alabama. Now, Miss Bain has put her question in the form of a verse just to make it harder. And we're asked to identify the following persons, all of them, by the way. There are 5 all together. Mr. Adams had just exchanged a cigar with Mr. Burney, who was giving him a pipe in exchange. Both were stuck, as a matter of fact. 1. Identify a baritone that on air or screen no other voice surpasses. As Northwest Mountie or Cadet, he captivates the lasses. Mr. Adams, this is made-up poetry. You've never heard it before. You don't like the poetry. Mr. Adams doesn't like the poetry. Well, I think Miss Bain is doing very well. A baritone that on air or screen no other voice surpasses, as Northwest Mountie or Cadet, he captivates the lasses. Who is it?
Nelson Elliott.
That's correct, Mr. Burney. Thank you very much. Did you know that all along? Why were you holding out on me?
I was waiting for Mr. Adams.
I don't know the radio or the screen.
Mr. Burney, you can carry that courtesy of yours too far, you know. 2. He changes his hats and giggles. He puns and is quite jolly. His role for many years has been the epitome of folly. Mr. Jaffe.
Charlie Chaplin?
No, that's wrong. Sorry. Mr. Burney, perhaps you can help.
Edwin.
Edwin is correct. We have to count that wrong. 3. He acts with punch, his usual role, that of a city tough. He always gets the girl because he's a diamond in the rough. Shall I read that again? Have you had enough? Mr. Burney.
Jimmy Cagney.
Jimmy Cagney's correct. 4. In vaudeville, she sang torch songs of mamas very bold. In movies now, as mothers gruff, each with a heart of gold. I think the grammar was lost on the way in that one. But I think you boys get the general idea.
Sophie Tucker.
Sophie Tucker, Mr. Burney, is quite correct.
Yeah.
And 5, and last. This jester's band, heard o'er the land, both from the air and stage, by a columnist he's always hissed as not worth any wage. Well, they all know it, but Mr. Burney, Mr. Jaffe.
That's our friend Ben Burney.
That's correct.
Person.
Well, we should have gotten 5 out of 5. We got only 4 out of 5.
Did you write of my growing men?
The next question from Mr. R. E. Manning, 591 Ocean Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. And we have to, this one deals with the movies. The names of what movie personalities are suggested by each of the following expressions. As, for example, an overdose of sun might suggest Bob Burns, might it not, Mr. Burns?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. You have to get 4 out of 5 on this. 1, a chair. A chair. Movie personality suggested by a chair. Mr. Adams, are you dozing?
I just don't know anything about that form of art.
Don't like that, eh? All right, how about you, Mr. Burney? Can you help us out? Think of a movie personality whose name would be suggested by a chair, any kind of chair. High chair, low chair.
Morris.
Yes, Chester Morris. Very good. 2, a weighing device. A weighing device.
Fairbanks.
Fairbanks, junior or senior?
Both.
All right, because that's important.
Junior, lately.
3, a place of worship.
Shirley Temple.
Why, Mr. Adams did wake up. Mr. Adams, do you all see only Shirley Temple pictures?
The others are before my time.
4, a musical expression. 4, a musical expression. Careful on this one. Don't give me Harpo Marx. I won't take that. No, no. A musical expression. A male star, it is. Sort of like to help boys out this evening. Don't know why I feel that way. Mr. Jaffe.
You mean Barrymore?
Nope.
Now, let that go. Franchitone would be correct, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Or even Martha Ray. You know, Do, Ray, Me, all that sort of thing. Now, that's wrong. Five, this is what it says, a Schlemiel. A Schlemiel. Movie personality, a Schlemiel. Their minds seem to be pretty blank on a Schlemiel.
Charlie Chaplin.
No, I wouldn't let that go. You wouldn't call Charlie Chaplin a Schlemiel, I think.
Do you mean Dopey?
Yes, I think Dopey would be all right. Two wrong out of that. That's going to cost us $5, I'm afraid. We're down $20. Doing just middling well, gentlemen, just middling well. The next one from Miss Dorothy Munson, 96 Fort Greene Place, Brooklyn, New York. You ask to complete the chorus of each of the following songs. Now, if you want to complete them in chorus, you may do so. Or if you don't want to complete them in chorus, it'll be quite okay with me. One, oh, where have you been, charming Billy? I have been to seek a wife. She's the joy of my life. Mr. Adams.
She's a young thing, cannot leave her mother.
Very good, Mr. Adams. Two, E is for her eyes, with love light shining. R means right, and right she'll always be. Finish it. Mr. Jaffe.
Add them up together, they spell mother.
That's correct. And what's the last line of that famous song?
That's a name that means so much to me.
A word that means the world to me, yes. How did you find time from your chemistry classes to learn that, Mr. Jaffe? Three, do not scorn her with words fierce and bitter. Do not laugh at her shame and downfall. Mr. Burney's crying. For a moment, just stop and consider.
That a man was the cause of it all.
That's right. Next question comes to us from Park Rapids, Minnesota, from Miss Lena J. Myers. Name the man and scientific discovery associated with each of the following. Name the man and scientific discovery associated with each of the following. One, a bath. Gentlemen, you all know what a bath is. Miss Kieran.
Archimedes.
Yes, and what was the principle?
The principle of the body displaces its own weight in water.
That's correct. No, it has nothing to do with birds and bugs. Here's Mr. Kieran coming through on baths now. It's remarkable. And remarkable. Two, a tea kettle. Mr. Jaffe.
James Watt.
Yes, and with what scientific discovery?
A steam engine.
Yes, steam power. Three, a frog's leg. All right, Mr. Kieran, we'll give you another chance.
Galvani.
Yes, what was discovered?
Well, he invented the galvanoscope. It's from experimenting along those lines. It's the...
Maybe that's all you know, Mr. Kieran. It's all right. You're doing all right, mm-hmm. So far. I don't know where the galvanoscope came out of that particular experiment. Mr. Jaffe, can you help us?
There was the galvanic cell, which is a battery.
Yes, and what...
battery.
Yes, is there any other man associated with an experiment on a frog's leg? There is one.
Oscar, chef at the Waldorf.
All right. All right. All right. both would be correct. For a cathedral lantern. A cathedral lantern. Mr. Jaffe.
Galileo.
Yes, and what scientific...
The law of the pendulum.
The law of the pendulum.
That's right.
Did that lead to the law of the motion of the earth in general?
Well, in a way, yes.
Well, we'll take it up tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's plenty of time.
See me after school, Mr. Fowler.
All right, I'll see you after school.
How about Paul Revere?
Well, how about Paul Revere? That's Mr. Adams.
He did something in a belfry.
back in the belfry, Mr. Adams. Five, a hungry dog. A hungry dog. Mr. Jaffe.
That was Banting who discovered insulin.
Is that quite correct? I have Pavlov down here.
That's also correct.
Well, who wins?
They both experimented with dogs. Pavlov did his conditioned reflex experiments on dogs, and Banting did it on diabetic dogs.
But were they hungry?
Who were naturally hungry since they were diabetic.
Well, you're not hungry necessarily if you're diabetic, are you? I don't mean you. I mean anybody who happens to be diabetic. Now, if they're not hungry dogs, I won't let it go. Were they hungry, and how hungry were they?
Well, I didn't know them very well, but I know his dogs were very hungry after they missed
their insulin. I'll accept that unless it's rechecked by our other scientific authority, smart. Quite correct. 5 out of 5 on that one. The next one from Mr. Donald Jacobs, 4307 Alton Road, Miami Beach, Florida. Name the famous prisoners or castaways of fact or fiction imprisoned in the following places. I'll read that again. Name the famous prisoners or castaways of fact or fiction imprisoned in the following places. 1. Devil's Island. Mr. Jaffe.
Dreyfus.
Correct. 2. Chateau d'If. Mr. Kieran.
Edmond Dantès is the Count of Monte Cristo.
Nicely said. Mr. Kieran. 3. Shark Island. Shark Island. Mr. Burney?
Doctor.
The name is?
The one who was indicted at that Lincoln assassination.
Correct. That's correct, but they must have the name. Let me give you a hint. It's a one-syllable name. Sort of a nasty name. Sometimes when you look at Mr. Winchell's column, Mr. Burney, you say it to yourself. You say, in Winchell's column, my name is... Mudd. Dr. Mudd. Give you half credit on that one. You certainly identified the man, but not the name. 4 Treasure Island. Mr. Kieran?
Ben Flint.
No, not Flint.
Well, he was a fellow who liked cheese.
Yes, that's true. That's true. It's the word which is associated with Flint. Ben?
Steel.
No. Thanks, Mr. Adams. But that is not quite correct.
Well, he mentions his name, Old Ben.
Yes, that's right. That's right, Mr. Kieran. Come back again sometime, tell it to us, Mr. Kieran. The name is Ben Gunn. Ben Gunn. Half credit on that. 5, the Bastille. Bastille. Now, there are many famous...
Voltaire.
Voltaire would be perfectly all right.
Voltaire Vinchell?
No.
Voltaire would be quite right, and even Voltaire eventually, Mr. Adams, would be quite right. Perhaps Mr. Kieran had another.
Dr. Manette.
Dr. Manette, yes, from what book?
A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens.
That's quite correct. However, we lost a half on Shark Island and a half on Treasure Island, so I think we ought to count that as a lost question when it costs us $5. We have time, perhaps, for one or two more. This one from Mr. Ernst C. Sutter of New London, Connecticut. Name 3 songs... not necessarily popular songs. Name 3 songs whose titles are not complimentary to ladies. Are not complimentary to ladies.
I'll be glad when you're dead, you rascal, you.
Was that about a woman, Mr. Burney?
Well, I guess I must have misunderstood. You see, I'm not a musician, I'm a leader.
You see, the titles have to be uncomplimentary to ladies.
My wife's gone to the country.
I don't think I'd accept that as a...
Yes, it is. It says, hooray, hooray.
Why didn't you say hooray, hooray? All right, that's one. Let's have 2 more quickly now. 2 more quickly. 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 Going, going.
Oh, my mother was a lady.
What? My mother... No, I won't allow that one. I ain't got no use for the women, would be one. The lady is a tramp. The night that she cried in my beer, maybe. All of those would be uncomplimentary. I'm afraid you'll have to count us down $5 on that one. $25 has been lost this evening by our 4 experts. And I'm afraid we'll have no more time for any other questions. We've lost altogether $25. Mr. Kieran will not be able to be with us next week. He'll be unavoidably out of town. But we'll have Mr. Adams back. And Mr. Oscar Levant, who sees all and knows all and plays all music. Mr. Marcus Duffield of the New York Herald Tribune, and as our guest of honor, Mr. Percy Waxman of the Cosmopolitan Magazine. And now, Mr. Case, will you take the mic and remind our audience of the rules once more? Good night, thanks, and come again.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman. We'll meet again next week at 8:30, Public versus Expert. Send questions, any number of them, with the correct answers. Remember, $2 per question accepted, $5 more if the board blocks on it. Send your questions to Information, Please. This is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.